Hello and welcome to the Feeling Good Podcast. I am your host, Fabrice Nye, and joining me here in the Murrieta Studios is Dr. David Burns. Hi, David.
Hi, Fabrice.
Dr. David Burns has been a pioneer in the development of cognitive therapy, and he is the creator of the new team therapy. He is the author of Feeling Good, which has sold over 5 million copies in the United States and has been translated into over 20 languages. He is an emeritus adjunct clinical professor of psychiatry at the Stanford University School of Medicine. We have another Ask David question here from one of our listeners. And here's what he wrote. He said, I really liked your podcast when you explained how an identity crisis in a young girl was due to having real life problems that she was avoiding. I have suffered from obsessive compulsive symptoms on and off, and I'm wondering, can sexual fantasies that I've had at certain points in my life that have produced feelings of shame and guilt result in having intrusive thoughts? I don't know whether or not this would be considered medical advice, but I found your books helpful. However, I've never come across any of these cases. Thank you.
Well, that's a really fun question, because a lot of people struggle with having exciting sexual fantasies that they that our upbringing or our religion or society is judged to be incorrect, mm-hmm. and so you can be struggling in shame for years, thinking that there's something horrible or shameful or terribly wrong with you. And this intelligent listener is right. Sometimes these are just a symptom of anxiety that can occur when you're avoiding something in your life. That other podcast was really on the hidden emotion model, which is one of the very powerful models for understanding and treating anxiety, that some of us are very nice, and when something comes up, a feeling that we're not supposed to have, we're angry at somebody, or there's something that we want that we think we're not supposed to want, we shuffle it under the rug, and it can emerge as any type of anxiety, phobia, obsessive compulsive disorder, generalized anxiety, panic attacks, almost anything. And I just happen to have a vignette, a story that maps exactly onto what this listener is mm-hmm. asking. So I was really mm-hmm. intrigued when I read that question that he sent as an email. But I get emails all the time from people who've read one of my books, like Feeling Good, and yeah. They often have very kind things to say. And I got an email from a young man in Argentina, let's say, just to disguise it a little bit, and we'll call him Pedro. And he had, when he said that when he was a teenager, he had a horrible obsessive compulsive disorder and depression, and had been going for treatment. His parents were bringing him for, you know, pills and psychotherapy, and no one had been able to help him. And then my book, Feeling Good, was published in South America, translated into Spanish. Yeah. And somebody gave him a copy of that book, and he said he started reading it, and miraculously, almost overnight, he completely recovered from depression and obsessive compulsive disorder.
Wow.
And he was so grateful and so excited, he said that he made a promise to himself that when he got older, he would get a PhD in education, and then he would educate all the people in Argentina about cognitive therapy.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
Which I had written about in Feeling Good. So this all went as planned, and he finished high school, he finished college, then he got into a PhD program in education, and he decided to specialize in cognitive therapy. And then he had to read all of these books by cognitive therapists. And,
yeah.
And as you know, Fabrice, one of the very famous cognitive therapists was Albert Ellis. He called it rational emotive therapy,
yeah,
but it's
right,
similar to cognitive therapy. It's a forerunner, really. And but Albert Ellis was a great pioneer and a brilliant guy and a fellow of great integrity, but he was a wild guy too.
Yeah, I remember.
And when he gave workshops, every sentence contained the F word, and
yeah,
people would complain bitterly about that. And he had a bit of a reputation. But one of his things is he like Freud felt that religion was one of the causes of human neurosis, and he was very adamant. He was an atheist and very, very much against religion. He would always speak in disparaging terms about religion. Well, Pedro was reading an Albert Ellis textbook on rational emotive therapy or cognitive therapy, and there was a sentence, something to the effect like, who the H is Jesus Christ anyway? And the implication is that there are no saints or, you know, human beings with supernatural qualities, that it's a con, and that Jesus was just a con man like Moses and all of the other people throughout history who have claimed to have, you know, special secret knowledge of God or whatever.
Yeah.
And so when Pedro read this sentence, he was just shocked and stunned because he was a good, young, devout Catholic lad. And he became extremely upset, and he said within seconds he relapsed into full-blown depression and obsessive-compulsive disorder. And one of the symptoms that started to plague him that relates to this fellow's question about shameful sexual fantasies is he started having these intrusive fantasies of Jesus having sex with the Virgin Mary in all the positions of the Kama Sutra.
Wow.
And he was picturing these things in graphic detail and telling himself, I've got to control these fantasies. I'm going to burn in hell. And of course, every anxious person does that. They try to avoid the anxiety or control the anxiety or control the negative thoughts, control these frightening and intrusive thoughts.
Pretty natural.
Yeah, and the more you try to control them, the worse they become. And so he was asking me if I had any tips for him on you know, what he could do to try to treat this severe relapse. Now, I use, as you know, Fabrice, at least 40 techniques in the treatment of anxiety. So I'm only going to talk about one or two of those techniques right now. But one technique that can be helpful in the treatment of anxiety is called exposure. And there's different forms of exposure. Classical exposure, like if you have the fear of heights, you get up on a ladder and stay there until the fear disappears. And then we've got interpersonal exposure techniques for shy people, like talking to strangers in public or shame attacking exercises or whatever. And then there's cognitive exposure, where you can confront a fear in your mind's eye. And so it occurred to me that what he would have to do if he wanted to recover is use cognitive exposure techniques. And in particular, what he would have to do would be to intentionally fantasize Jesus having sex with the Virgin Mary and to flood himself.
Exactly what he doesn't want to do,
Exactly. And to do that until the fantasy loses all of its appeal. Well, I wrote back and told him that although I can't treat somebody through the internet, that if he were my patient, that this would be a mandatory requirement. I had other techniques that would also help him, but this is one he would be not negotiable.
Yeah.
And would he be willing to do it? And then he wrote back saying that he was a Catholic and that he couldn't possibly use this cognitive flooding because it would be a moral sin, and he would burn
against
in hell.
His religion. Yeah, right.
Now, this illustrates something really important about the treatment of anxiety, is that virtually every anxious patient will stubbornly resist exposure techniques. Everyone has their own excuse why they shouldn't have to confront their fears.
Yeah.
And if the therapist gives into that, the therapy is doomed. And a lot of therapists do give in, so they don't use exposure, and then the patient never really recovers. So I wrote back to him, I said, Pedro, you know, I'm not a Catholic and I don't know the theology on this, but I do know a fellow who's a Catholic monk. And I'll ask him for a consultation. And meanwhile, you, Pedro, go to your religious experts and ask, you know, ask them what they think. And so I told this fellow, and he said, who was a Catholic monk, and he said, well, he didn't know for sure, but he would get together with some of the top theologians in his city. And they had a half a day conference on this, whether it's morally acceptable for a young Catholic boy to intentionally fantasize Jesus having sex with the Virgin Mary in all the positions of the Kama Sutra, and what was their official religious position. So they debated this, and then so he called me after the conference and said they had a unanimous decision that it was morally acceptable as long as the purpose was healing and rather than entertainment.
Right.
And so that's the first point. So I wrote back to him and I said, here's the answer I got. And again, if you were my patient, you would have to do this. And if for whatever reasons you have, you've decided you do not want to do that, I'd say that's not a problem, but then I'm not willing to try to treat you.
Right.
And that's called the gentle ultimatum, and it's part of team therapy and paradoxical agenda setting. So I thought that was really interesting, and of course if he does do that, he'll soon discover that it becomes very boring to put these fantasies in your mind. But the second point about it was also, I thought, very interesting and relevant to this fellow's cool question, and that was about the hidden emotion technique. You see, one of the causes of anxiety is we have a feeling that we think we're not supposed to have, and so because we're nice, and of course Pedro's this nice young man, and so you sweep that feeling under the rug and suppress it, and you can't remember what you're upset about, and then it comes out as, in his case, intrusive OCD thoughts, obsessive compulsive disorder thoughts, right, or panic attack or whatever. Can you, Fabrice, think of some emotion that he might have been having at the moment he relapsed, an emotion that he was, sweeping under the carpet?
Well, one of the classic emotions that gets pushed away is anger.
Yeah.
In my experience. And so that would be one possibility.
Yeah, but who would he be angry with?
Well, he could be angry with the church or with his parents.
Good guess. You're close, but it's real obvious.
He could be angry with you.
No, he's not angry. I'm his hero.
Or Albert Ellis.
Albert Ellis. Yeah. Why would he be angry with Albert Ellis?
Well, Albert Ellis is like this authority figure that suddenly puts shame on something that he dearly believed.
Yeah.
At the same time, he could not bring himself to be angry at Albert Ellis because he was this, great promoter of cognitive therapy.
Yeah, Burns likes Ellis. He's a very famous person. So who is little Pedro to be angry at Albert Ellis for saying who the H is Jesus Christ anyway?
Yeah.
He sweeps it under the rug, won't permit him to feel that, and then it comes out instantly as obsessions. Yeah. And so another keystone in the treatment would be for him to bring that to conscious awareness. You just talk it over with him. I'm sure he would immediately own up to it.
Uh-huh.
And then where the cure comes when you're using the hidden emotion model would be then maybe he'd want to send an email to Albert Ellis and in a very respectful way to share those feelings. So that would be another way to get a handle on that. So that's all she wrote.
All right. Well, so going back to this fellow's question, who was really talking about his own sexual fantasies.
Well, it would be the same thing. Again, I can't treat him through an email or through a question, but one technique among others, I'm glad you brought this up actually, would be that if he's fighting against these so-called shameful sexual fantasies, maybe he could decide to flood himself with them and to intentionally make himself as anxious and upset as possible, rather than to try to sweep these out of his mind.
So go in the opposite direction that you would instinctively go toward.
Yeah, to stop trying to control them. Instead, bring them on and see if you can make yourself 100% anxious for 30 minutes or 60 minutes or whatever. And then the other thing that he's sensing is maybe, like Pedro, there's some issue in his life that he's not dealing with, someone he's upset with, but it isn't always anger. It could be something he wants, like maybe he wants a different job, or he wants to major in some other subject in
sure,
school,
yeah.
But he's doing what he thinks he should do because daddy wants me to be doing this or whatever. I mean, I'd have to know more about his life and what's been going on, but those would be two potentially very productive treatment methods.
I hope this is helpful to this fellow. It'd be interesting if he could send you some feedback, see how this worked for him. So just for the record, this is episode 21, so if he wants to refer to this when he emails you.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
Great. This has been another episode of the Feeling Good Podcast. For more information, visit Dr. Burns' website at feelinggood.com, where you will find the show notes for this podcast under the blog page, and where you can leave your comments and questions. The website has an abundance of resources for therapists as well as non-therapists, including books, workshops, a list of online training groups around the world, and much more. Theme music is Gypsy Jazz in Paris, 1935, composed and performed by Brett Van Donzel. I am your host, Fabrice Nye, and I invite you to join us next time for another episode of the Feeling Good Podcast.